I don't know if you have ever heard of the Curcio movement. Their motto is De Caloris. So if there are any Curciestas out there, you'll know what I'm saying, De Caloris. It's simply translated from Spanish, of the colors. I hadn't heard of it until a guy from my parish who had befriended me and became a trusted friend asked me if I would be interested in making a Curcio. After my return to the faith, this guy approached me with this idea. And you have to understand, back then, as today, I was not at all interested in going off to a strange location with a bunch of people I didn't know, guys nonetheless, and walk into the unknown world of Curcio. I'm very slow to walk into the unknown, if you know me. And so it took this friend 3 years of gently asking and encouraging me. And finally, but reluctantly, I said, okay. As a result of this friendship and his being a friend, three utterly pivotal events took place that weekend for my life. The first was, I met a guy named Jerry. On the third day of the Curcio, it was Saturday, this guy came up to me and said, hey, my name is Jerry Pickett. I've been watching you all weekend, and I thought, whoa, wait a minute. That doesn't make me comfortable. And he said, would you like to meet my sister? And again, having not ever met him, I was a little less than, or a little bit skeptical. And he said some magic words to me back then. He said, well, she's drop dead gorgeous. Wouldn't you like to meet her? And I said, hey, anything for a friend, right? So, Jane, his sister, ended up being a lady that I dated for about a year. We talked about marriage. But I think the most important thing that came from my relationship with her was that she would be the one that would teach me how to live my faith more openly. She's also the one whose father's funeral I drove 3.5 hours to just a few weeks ago, because that same dad and she and the brother that introduced us and his family sat right about there at my first Mass as a newly ordained priest. What is interesting now, but was confusing then, was the second thing that happened. Immediately after meeting Jerry and learning of this drop-dead gorgeous sister of his, who I had agreed to meet, I took the back stairwell up to our next conference, and I took that on purpose because there was nobody used it. And I just wanted even just a brief few minutes by myself. And halfway up that back stairwell, I heard with divine clarity in my soul, be a priest. I immediately started to sweat. Beads on my forehead, sweaty palms, and just as quickly, I responded by saying no out loud. At the end of that weekend, which changed my life, it was a reversion within a reversion. I'd come back to the faith a number of years before, but by then I'd gotten kind of mechanical and even cold in my faith, going through the motions, making it to Mass every Sunday. But that was about the extent of it. That weekend changed my life. And as I pulled out of the driveway on Sunday night to begin my 2.5 hour drive home, the third thing happened. I said words that I never said before. Lord, I'm all yours. Do with me whatever you want. Little did I know what that would mean. My point in telling you this is to illustrate the principle that made all the difference in my life and is the rule of the Curcio movement, the rule that they teach and by which they operate. And it's this. Make a friend, be a friend, and then bring a friend to Christ. It can only happen that way. The second reading this morning, St. Paul says, now the body is not a single part, but many. Maybe the Revised Standard Version translation is a little bit better for the purpose of this message. It says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. The body, as St. Paul is making use of in his teaching, is one of the great analogies for all the people of God throughout the world. We are the body of Christ and members of it, or at least that's what God intends, everybody to be a member of his body, the church. Part of our mission, though, because that's not the case, part of our mission is that each week, each day of each week of each month, and each month of each year, you and I do a little something to bring those who are not currently part of the body to the body of Christ. The sad reality is there's a growing number of people who are disaffiliated. They're not among us, and they don't want to be. I suppose if we asked each one of them, they would have a reason, maybe many reasons. I had mine back when I wasn't part of the body of Christ. But no matter who they are, and no matter why they aren't with us, each one of them is equally missed and must be equally loved. This time each year, we think of and pray for a certain segment, if you will, of that missing body of Christ. Hundreds of thousands of people drive to different locations around the country, especially Washington, D.C., to peacefully bring the power of prayer to the steps of the Capitol where the laws of this land are made. We trust in God. We should. We trust our prayers to God in the hope and faith that those prayers and those we offer throughout the entire year will move the hearts of the lawmakers, many of whom purport to be members of the body of Christ, to move their hearts to accept the God-given truth that human life begins at conception and that every legislation ongoing will afford those unborn the dignity and protection of a human person. It's critical work. It's got to be done. But like St. Paul says, each member of the body has a different role to play. He says in our gospel, or in that second reading, he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were to be a foot, where would the sense of smell be? I'd like to know that too since COVID, because I can't smell anything again. Not going to Washington does not make us less Catholic or less a person of faith, not at all. It simply means that at least for this year, our mission is closer to home. Each one of us is called in some way, shape, manner, or form to bring God's healing, his love, his acceptance, and his divine mercy to anyone who has had an abortion, participated in one, performed one, promoted one, passed legislation for one, or in any other way has been affected by abortion. One of the things that we're working on here at St. Mary's is to try to get a 40 Days for Life chapter here in Clark County. 40 Days for Life is designed to combine prayer, fasting, and public witness to get God's pro-life message out to our communities. One of the things, and I've seen it personally, one of the things that is guaranteed during the public witness phase, where you're out on a sidewalk praying and probably carrying signs, is that you're going to hear horns honk. And if you look into those vehicles who honk their horns, you'll oftentimes see gestures, some friendly, some not. The unfriendly ones, I believe, don't know that we are not there to condemn them, but rather to befriend them. I'm a why person. I always want to know the whys behind the whats. And as I saw that back in my days in Stevens Point, where they still have a very vibrant 40 Days for Life, it occurred to me the reason why they don't know this and they think that we hate them is because we haven't done a good job of giving them the truth, the message that we don't hate them, that we love them. We have signs. We will today have signs that say abortion stops a beating heart. Abortion kills. Pray for the end of abortion. And many other messages. All that is absolutely true. And we must convey it. You see, we can't call people to God's mercy without telling them the reasons why mercy is necessary. They would like being telling a prospective athlete that they don't have to work on anything. You're good as you are. We got to give them the whole truth. But how do we let them know that we consider them friends and not enemies? That's the key. There are two things to do, and they're very simple. One is tell them. And the second is show them. Words without actions are cheap. They're worth nothing. Whether it's the general public during 40 Days for Life, or whether it's a new family in our parish, and I'm not talking only about abortion now, I'm just talking about what it is to make this happen. Whether it's a new family in our parish or a new family in town who aren't Catholic, or maybe it's somebody you've been working with for 15 years. Whoever it is that you have a relationship with, if we show them Christ by how we treat them, we'll make a friend. And if we love them right where they're at, but always seeking to lift them up a little closer to Christ, then we're being a friend. And then if we do those things, they'll trust us. And then we can bring them to Christ. That's how lives are changed. I know, because that's how mine was changed. Whether it's for people who've had abortions, or whether it's for people who have just stopped practicing their faith, no matter who it is or what their story is, there's no formula. There's no program. Rather, there's just this simple reality. Friends bring friends to Christ. I'll go back to the beginning in conclusion. Mike Cahill is the name of my friend who invited me to Curcio. He and his wife, Mary Kay, became true friends to me. He wasn't somebody I hunted with or fished with or played golf with. But his quiet, yet noticeably deep faith always came through in those seemingly insignificant interactions that we had, whether after Mass or in his accounting office. He was my tax guy then. I just always knew Mike was someone I could trust. He simply met me where I was at and loved me there. But God and he always had plans to lift me up even higher. And because of that, Mike Cahill brought me to Christ through his ongoing prayer for me and his loving, gentle, yet persistent invitation, Greg, why don't you make a Curcio this year? May God rest this beautiful soul. You see, my dear friend Mike died while bringing other guys to Christ. He died in the middle of his talk that he was giving at Curcio. De course.